I'm Lester Holt, and this is Dateline.
They said, we need you to get in the car with us. They zip-tied my arms and zip-tied my legs, duct-taped my hair. There's no words. I'm sitting there just hysterical. It's terrifying.
A secret, sinister plot.
He's giving you a way to kill someone.
Very detailed, precise instructions.
And she was the target.
I mean, she just broke down. She looked afraid.
It was surprising. Normally, we don't deal with professional people looking to have somebody killed.
But this would be far more twisted than investigators thought. Not one murder scheme, but two.
So now you have a man and a woman who both want their exes dead. Is that beyond bizarre?
Shocking.
Well, I could feel my heart start racing.
It just was unreal. I couldn't believe that this was happening. It was the worst, worst day of my life.
Here's Andrea Canning with Twisted in Texas.
In the beginning, it was heady, fun.
He is very charming.
She was swept away.
I don't think I've ever had somebody tell me I'm beautiful that much.
But without warning, it all turned. From love story to crime story.
He's a relentless tsunami.
He doesn't care who he affects.
It's like out of a movie.
It is. It is.
A thriller.
I ran across the street yelling, leave her alone.
With secret recordings.
I want her gone.
A fake death. And another death that was all too real.
It's awful. Never should have happened. None of it.
Megan Varicus is a Pittsburgh girl born and raised. Steeler games, tight-knit friends, a solid family.
I grew up with my parents who've been married for 35 years.
Megan's own love life wasn't so simple. She got married in her 20s, but she and her husband drifted apart. So she threw herself into work, managing a busy hotel downtown.
It's a fun job. You meet a lot of different people.
One of those people was a local doctor who checked in during the winter of 2014. His name was Leon Jacob.
What's your first impression?
He was arrogant, like, just, you know, oh, I'm a doctor, give me whatever suite you have.
What did you make of that? Did you think to yourself, I don't want anything to do with
exactly,
this guy?
Exactly. But he wears on you?
Leon came from a well-to-do family and attended an elite boarding school. Now, he told her, he was a transplant surgeon.
I think that anybody is enamored by somebody who can save lives.
Like Megan, Leon was unlucky in love. He told her he was going through a divorce. The more Megan got to know him, the more approachable he seemed.
He is very charming.
Soon enough, a romance blossomed. And when Leon moved back to his hometown of Houston, he asked Megan to join him.
He had made me feel like I deserved something else.
Something better?
Yeah.
Houston was good for Megan. She found a job in hotel sales and signed a lease on a cool new apartment. Leon moved in.
That to me was really scary. I'm very independent. And he's like, I opened a bank account and I put your name on it. And I'm
That's
like,
That's quick.
But I was like, oh, he really cares. Like, okay.
Leon's family welcomed Megan like one of their own.
Did you start to envision the possibility of marriage with Leon?
Yeah. At 30 years old, you don't spend time with somebody that you won't want to be serious with. That's not who I am.
Megan settled in. She got a dog and made a new friend through work, Ariel Washington.
We really clicked over just being from out of town, both transitioning into Houston. We're both Steelers fans.
Leon's selfies showed a loving couple. But there was one trouble spot in Megan's new life. Leon didn't have a Texas medical license yet.
So then I was like, okay, why don't you go work as a surgical assistant? And he was like, you don't understand what it's like to be a doctor. You can't just take any job.
Megan had to support both herself and Leon.
It really just seemed like frustrations within a normal relationship.
But one night, everything changed. Megan expressed her frustration in front of Leon's high-achieving family.
Like, I don't understand why he's not working. And he was like, we're going to talk about this when we get home. And he just tore up my entire closet and just threw all of my stuff on the balcony.
What did you say back to him?
I was, like, shocked. I didn't know what to say. And I didn't know what to do. Like, here I am. I live with this person.
That night started a downward spiral. According to Megan, soon, every day, Leon seemed to find a new reason to get angry. Eventually, she says, his anger turned into abuse.
It was always something, like, almost like clockwork. He used to chew tobacco, and he, I don't know what I did or what happened. He took the thing of spit and threw it across the room at me. It was constant.
It's humiliating.
Yeah, and he just didn't think it was a big deal, even though he would call me these horrible names and just demeaning and awful.
Then, she said, he would beg forgiveness.
I'm sorry. You know, I love you. I have so much other things going on. I need you in my world. You're the only thing that keeps me happy.
Would you forgive him when he would say sorry?
Of course.
She says Leon always promised to change, but never did.
And did you ask yourself, how did I...
I don't know how I ended up
there. Get under
this
man's
spell. Exactly. No one expects to be in a relationship like that.
Then came January 12th, 2017. Megan got home late after a long day at work.
He started throwing stuff out of the dishwasher. He's throwing it and throwing. And then he, like, threw a glass of wine on me.
Megan had to get out.
And I was like, I'm done. I'm leaving.
She rushed to pack a bag.
He put his hands over my face and said, go ahead and try and leave, you dumb.
Megan made a run for it. She took their dog and got in the car. She said Leon chased her down the driveway.
He's pulling on the car door and pulling on the car door. And he was like, if you don't give me the dog, I'm going to punch in your window.
Leon grabbed the dog, but Megan got away. She was free. Or so she thought.
When we come back...
I had pulled out and he was right behind me.
She looked afraid.
Was Megan in danger?
He said, she's got to be out of the picture. If he'd hired somebody to do something, who knows what they're going to do?
Every morning, around 8:30, Ariel Washington had a sales meeting with her friend and coworker, Megan Varicus. But January 13th, 2017, was different.
I was like, good morning. I was, the next words out of my mouth were, what's wrong? Her face was blotchy, marks and things like that all around.
It was the morning after Megan's desperate flight from her boyfriend, Leon.
She started crying. I closed the door, you know, broke out tissues.
Until that moment, Ariel knew very little about Megan's troubles with Leon.
She looked afraid and in disbelief that something like this happened to her.
As the women talked, Megan's cell pinged incessantly.
It was just non-stop emails, phone calls.
All from Leon. Erratic messages from an account called Leon Loves Megan.
It's like, I love you. Here's this wedding ring I was going to buy you. Then the next email would be, oh, you're so done. I want nothing to do with you.
Megan texted Leon to leave her alone. They were over. But there was more to come, and it was infuriating. Megan found out that Leon had withdrawn most of the money from their joint bank account. And when she went to her apartment to get her belongings, she was shocked by what she saw.
I had no furniture left. Nothing. Luckily, I'd gotten there in time before he took my clothes.
Megan went to the police and swore out a complaint against Leon.
And I just sat in this filthy office, just crying and writing down everything I could remember.
She told police Leon had assaulted her. She applied for a protective order, but it didn't come through immediately. A few days later...
I had pulled out of my work and he was right behind me.
Megan said she sped through downtown, but she couldn't shake her ex. Then Leon cut her off with his car.
He jumped in front of my vehicle telling me I'm making a huge mistake and that he loves me.
Megan says she managed to swerve around Leon and escape, but he kept showing up at the hotel where she worked, asking to see her.
His demeanor was very calm, but very persistent. That's actually scarier because you don't know what's going on in the back of their head.
The hotel banned Leon from the property, but coworkers still saw him lurking.
We walk outside and see him standing there behind a bush like you're invisible. I just remember the first words coming out of my mouth were, "Do you know we can see you?"
Furious, Ariel says she ran across the street yelling,
"Go away, get away from us, leave her alone."
Police arrested Leon for assault.
But that was very short-lived because he was out, I want to say within the next day.
2 weeks later, Leon and Megan appeared in court. The judge granted that protective order. He then ordered Leon to be arrested again on the spot, this time for stalking. As officers read Leon his rights, Megan was surprised to see a familiar face in the gallery.
I noticed Valerie was sitting in the stands, which I thought was odd.
Valerie McDaniel, a successful veterinarian in town, recently divorced from her husband of 19 years, Mac. Megan met Valerie, Mac, and their daughter when their marriage was falling apart.
She would come over and have martinis, and she would be over a lot. We went to a couple nightclubs and things like that. Seemed like a nice person.
How did Leon act around Valerie?
Like it was anybody else.
But that was then. On this day in court, Megan thought Leon and Valerie looked like a couple. She learned later that Valerie even posted Leon's bond with this man, a bail bondsman named Michael Kubosch, who a couple of days later got an unsettling visit from Leon.
He shut the door behind him.
Was that odd?
Very odd. And he says, I'm here because I want to know one thing.
Leon asked the bail bondsman for help finding another client of his. Leon said the client's name was Zach.
And I said, well, I don't know a Zach. Who are you talking about? He said, you know him. He's ex-military, ex-CIA. He's Middle Eastern.
Leon said he'd hired Zach to do a job for him, but now couldn't find him.
And then he tells me that he's paid him a lot of money to take care of this.
Well, take care of what?
And he said, she's got to go either back to Pittsburgh. She's got to be out of the picture. I'm a doctor. I can't have her come to this court and testify against me.
Kubosch found Leon's words frightening.
I felt like it was much more sinister than just wanting her to go to Pittsburgh.
To what extent were you thinking?
I didn't know. If he'd hired somebody to do something, who knows what they're going to do?
Turns out, the bail bondsman also happened to be a city councilman and a friend of the Houston police chief. So he gave the chief a call and said they should take a closer look at Leon and the mysterious Zach.
Coming up, an undercover mission to learn what Leon's really up to.
He's giving you a way to kill someone.
Very detailed, precise instructions.
And the real jaw dropper, Megan wasn't the only target.
We're taking care of both problems.
What both problems?
Both of the individuals that we're talking about.
When Dateline continues.
February 23rd, 2017. Leon Jacob had been arrested 2 days before. Megan Varicus had a protective order against him. So, for the first time in weeks, she should have felt safe. But that evening, her phone rang. It was a police officer.
And he basically said that there was a credible threat to my life.
Police came to meet Megan the next morning. Her friend Ariel remembered Megan was so afraid she wore a disguise.
You know, she's putting this wig on, putting a hat on, you know, jeans, tennis shoes, t-shirt, so that, she could try to be as inconspicuous as possible.
Megan and Ariel checked the officers' IDs one by one. Then investigators shared the tip they got from the bail bondsman, Michael Kubosch.
They think that my ex-boyfriend may have hired somebody to have me hurt. And that I need to be surrounded by people 24 hours a day and not be left alone.
Normally, I would say that must have been shocking. Were you all that surprised that...
I wasn't.
The police suggested Megan go back to Pittsburgh for a while. So she bought a ticket and flew home. Meanwhile, at the Harris County DA Special Crimes Bureau, investigators Jimmy Turpin and Mike Malden started looking into Leon.
Were you surprised to see a doctor involved in this?
It was surprising to us. Normally, we don't deal with professional people looking to have somebody killed.
Their first priority locate the elusive Zach, the guy Leon asked the bail bondsman about, the guy who may have been a hitman. They searched databases, knocked on doors, and they found him. His real name was Motaz Azza, or Taz for short.
And he said, we need to talk.
Taz said they had him all wrong. He was no hitman, but they were right about Leon. He wanted to get rid of Megan.
His main goal was that she not appear in court. Whatever means that required that to happen, that was fine with Leon, up to killing her.
Taz said Leon gave him $9,980 in cash and a couple of fancy watches to do the job. But Taz said he had no intention of doing it.
His story was he was playing Leon. He wasn't ever going to do the hit.
But Taz told police he had no doubt Leon still wanted it done. Taz also said he was willing to work with them to help catch Leon. So police told Taz to call Leon. They recorded the call.
Hello?
Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. Hey, listen, I'm going to set up a meeting with you tomorrow so we can finish this, okay?
Okay.
Taz told Leon he was bringing a partner.
I'm going to bring with me the Navy SEAL guy because he wants, you know, so we can get this done.
Taz didn't tell Leon his new partner was really an undercover police officer. Then Leon said something Taz wasn't expecting.
We're taking care of both problems.
What, both problems?
Both of the individuals that we're talking about.
Taz looked at me and shrugged his shoulders.
A second potential victim has just been added to the mix.
Yes.
Leon agreed to meet at an Olive Garden restaurant with Taz and the undercover officer who went by Adam. We've agreed not to show his face.
What is the goal of this meeting?
Make sure that this really is a murder for hire and to gather evidence, to see what it is that they want, also to discuss payment.
When Leon showed up, he wasn't alone.
We followed Leon to the table where we sat down. We were introduced to Valerie.
That's right, Valerie McDaniel, Leon's new girlfriend, the woman who bonded him out of jail. Here was Valerie meeting two supposed hitmen.
Hey, Valerie.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
When the conversation started, Leon didn't sound like someone trying to hire a hitman. He said he'd be happy if Megan just went back to Pittsburgh.
I wanted to see you.
But as they ate their pasta, Leon's tone hardened.
Make it very clear, if she does lose some time, she has severe consequences.
During the conversation, Leon said he wanted Adam to try another tactic, plant some drugs on Megan. And Leon had a more sinister idea, which, to the undercover officer, sounded like an invitation to murder.
I'm Tracy.
It's up to you. Do you have that stuff?
I don't have access to it, yeah. I have access to a pharmacy. Valerie owns a pharmacy. She's a pharmacy of her friend. I prefer not to do that. But my survival is more important.
He's giving you a way to kill someone.
He gave me very detailed, precise instructions on how to kill somebody.
But it wasn't just Megan whose life was in danger. Remember, Leon had said something about both individuals. Who was the other target?
Meaning, I don't mind, but he's one of the worst human beings in my entire life.
Leon clearly hated the guy, so who was he?
We've never met a human being like her ex. And I've met some pretty bad people.
Her ex-husband, he meant Valerie's ex-husband, Mac. That's right. This murder for hire was a double plot, a twofer. It seemed Leon and Valerie both wanted their exes dead. Leon and Taz left the table for a smoke, and Valerie talked specifics with Adam about how he could bump off her ex-husband. The undercover officer suggested some simpler execution options.
Take his car, leave him on the street, make sure he's dead, maybe put another bullet in his head. We call that a double tap. You'll think it was a robber.
But first, Adam wanted to know, was she sure?
She needed to give me the go-ahead. There's no going back on this, okay?
Of course, explained Adam, a second target would cost extra money. Leon returned to the table to negotiate a payment plan.
$5,000.
Take care.
Listening in from a nearby table was Sergeant Frank Quinn, who was in charge of the undercover operation.
So now you have a man and a woman who both want their exes dead.
Yes.
Is that beyond bizarre?
I hadn't seen anything like it before, and it was really shocking.
The meeting broke up. Adam and Taz promised to be in touch. Investigators thought they had a case, but to make it stick, they needed the money to change hands. And they had a wild, elaborate plan to make that happen.
Coming up.
They said, we need you to get in a car with us.
Undercover sting, scene number two.
We zip-tied her hands, zip-tied her feet, and then duct tape around her mouth.
I'm sitting there just hysterical. There's no words.
After some anxious days in Pittsburgh, Megan Varicus got a call from investigators to come back to Houston. Soon after she arrived, they called again with a surprise.
They said, we're outside. We need you to get in the car with us.
It's like out of a movie.
It is. They take me to some lot that looks like a junkyard, kind of. There's cars with bullet holes in them.
Just then, another car pulled up and a man got out. Megan recognized Valerie's ex-husband, Mac, and learned that he, too, was the target of a hit.
He just hugged me, and he was like, I heard about this, like, a day ago. And I was like, yeah, I've been dealing with this for some time.
But neither Megan nor Mac could have anticipated the incredible scheme police had in mind for them. Sergeant Frank Quinn and his officers wanted Megan and Mac to participate, get this, in a fake kidnapping and murder.
What a bizarre request of someone who's a victim in a potential murder-for-hire plot to, hey, we want you to pose and you're going to look dead.
Yes.
Quinn's plan was to show photos of the stage scenes to Leon and Valerie. He wanted to see their reactions and also have them make a payment for the fake hit. Mac went first, playing a murder victim.
Was Mac up for this?
Yes, definitely.
Quinn's unit used pig's blood to simulate a head wound. They knew they had to make it look convincing to Leon.
When you're dealing with a doctor who's probably seen wounds, then you need to be as realistic as you can.
He's been shot?
Yes, shot in the head.
In the photos?
Shot in the head, yes.
Megan's role was different. She played the victim of a kidnapping.
We zip-tied her hands, zip-tied her feet, and then duct-taped around her mouth. For us, this is very clinical. But in Megan's case, it hit her, and tears were flowing, and she just broke down.
There's no words. I'm sitting there just hysterical. But I guess it made the photos look better because it was real tears, it was real emotion.
Meanwhile, Adam, the undercover police officer posing as a hitman, exchanged texts and calls with Leon.
I want that taken care of ASAP too, but this has got to be fixed.
Most of the conversations have to do with Leon asking me to hurry up and commence with the murder.
We just want these two situations taken care of immediately.
Later that day, armed with the staged photos, the undercover officer Adam went over to Leon and Valerie's home to tell them he'd killed Mac and get them to pay.
The male subject, I'm sure you know who I'm talking about, he's gone, he's done.
But Leon wanted to talk about Megan and how they were a bad match from the start.
She grew up sort of middle, lower, middle class. This girl, she doesn't understand my world.
Adam returned to the business at hand, said he'd planned to deal with Megan the next day. If she refused to leave town, he would kill her.
Tomorrow,
more than likely, by tomorrow, she'll more than likely be dead, and that's it. I understand you prefer not, but I can't give you 100% guarantee.
Leon showed the undercover officer a pile of cash wrapped in a dish towel, payment for homicidal services rendered.
$1,800 in cash with the promise to pay me the remainder of the $10,000 at a later time.
What does that say to you in that moment? Like, this guy's obviously serious.
That's what told me there was no going back. He was dead serious about it.
The next day, Adam texted Leon that photo of Megan crying, zip-tied, and duct-taped. Leon didn't respond, so the undercover officer called to tell him he'd had to kill Megan.
There's no reason with her. She has put too much risk on us, and she doesn't care about leaving. That's pretty much it, man. She's dead. She's gone.
She's just like him.
And so many words, yeah. She's dead.
You already took care of
her? Yeah.
Hours later, continuing the ruse, police arrived at Valerie and Leon's apartment with their body cameras rolling.
We're just coming to inform her that her husband has been killed. To get her reaction.
Your ex-husband's been found. It looks like it turns out to be a fatality.
What was their reaction?
Well, you know, they try to feign some kind of surprise. And then we want to gauge his reaction, too.
Oh, my God. We were here all day with their daughter, and we were watching movies.
He immediately offers an alibi. He's like, oh, my gosh, we've been here all day.
Suspicious?
Very suspicious, yes. The one thing he's not is an actor, a good actor.
The police got the reaction they were looking for. They had the money paid to the undercover officer, and so they sprang their trap.
Right now, we're going to read you your rights.
Me?
They arrested Leon and Valerie for solicitation of capital murder and revealed there was no murder and no kidnapping. Megan and Mac were alive and well.
They had no idea. They believed that their issues had been taken care of. They had no more problems. And to immediately go from a death notification to you're under arrest for solicitation of capital murder.
That's a head snapper.
Yeah, and that'll get your attention.
Coming up.
I couldn't believe that this was happening to my sister.
What could have driven Valerie to do this?
I hate the idea that everybody thinks I'm a monster.
She tells her story. And Leon tells his. When Dateline continues.
The headline was just so sensational. Ritzy River Oaks couple take out hits on their exes.
The murder for hire plot that sent shockwaves through River Oaks.
In the days following the arrests, revelations about Leon's past flooded in with every newscast, including NBC affiliate KPRC.
Channel 2 Investigates is digging up new details.
Court documents showed Leon wasn't exactly who he appeared to be. He'd been kicked out of residency programs, convicted of attempted cyberstalking and criminal trespassing. And there was another woman from Leon's past who accused him of abuse, his ex-wife.
One count of solicitation of capital murder, Mr.
Leon was held without bail, but the judge did set bail for Valerie. She was allowed to go home. Her sister Angela was in shock.
It just was unreal. I couldn't believe that this was happening to my sister. This, the most kind, sweet, loving person.
It's like you got your sister back.
I did.
With all these things happening now.
Yeah.
Did you ask her, did you do this? Did you want Mac killed?
I did.
What did she say?
No, she said absolutely not. No.
Valerie's best friend, Maggie, said Valerie was scarred by her recent divorce.
It left her extremely vulnerable to a predator like Leon to come along and sink his teeth in.
It's when you want to shake your friend.
Yeah, just wanted
come
to
on.
Shake her, exactly. I said, what are you doing? This guy is gross. I mean,
After the arrest, Maggie confronted Valerie.
And I just kind of said, listen, you are under some sort of spell right now. This monster has gotten you into some trouble, and you need to fight like hell.
What did she say?
She did not understand what was happening. She just seemed off, terribly, terribly sad.
At home, alone, Valerie recorded an audio diary on her iPad.
Hey, it's Valerie.
She recounted how, back when her marriage to Mac was crumbling, she ran into her neighbor's son, Leon.
I was completely turned off immediately by his attitude, because you could tell he knew how beautiful he was.
But over time, Valerie, like Megan before her, thought she saw something in him. And, as with Megan, Leon captured their budding romance in selfies.
I got through that exterior and realized he wasn't
a nice person, and I was lonely, and he kept me company. I fell deeply in love with Leon.
But Valerie said she never intended to have her husband killed.
I hate the idea that everybody thinks I'm a monster.
The audio diary turned out to be her final recorded words.
I don't want to hurt anyone, just me.
A little over 2 weeks after her arrest, Valerie McDaniel jumped to her death from the seventh floor balcony of her apartment building.
It was the worst, worst day of my life.
Valerie's friend Maggie blamed Leon.
I see it as murder. I really do. I think he's murdered her reputation, and he ultimately murdered her.
Even though she made that choice on her own?
Yes. It never, ever, ever, none of this would have ever happened without him.
Leon Jacob didn't see it that way at all. We met him at the Harris County Jail, where he was awaiting trial, far removed from the promise of his early years.
This was a privileged life. Top boarding school, fancy vacations, nice house. Would you describe it that way?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that I wanted for anything.
And what drew him to medicine?
I think in a lot of ways, as a physician, you're a public servant.
He says Megan caught his eye at first sight.
She was beautiful and vivacious and smart.
She thought you were obnoxious when she first met you.
I don't know. I was just being myself. Some people find me obnoxious or confident when they first meet me, but after they get to know me a little bit, I'm just an easygoing, fun-loving kind of person.
After Leon was charged with soliciting Megan's murder, the old misdemeanor assault charge was dropped. He told us he never physically abused her.
You know, it's very nice in hindsight to rewrite history, but when the trial goes on, you're going to see that this was a shock that she wanted out of this relationship.
She said that you would yell and scream at her, that you would turn the TV up to the highest volume, that you would rip out all of her clothes, that this was a constant thing with you.
I don't recall their relationship being like that.
She said the final straw was when you grabbed her face in the bathroom. And you physically assaulted her, and that's when she finally left.
Her recollection
couldn't take it anymore.
Of that night is different than mine.
Tell us what happened in your eyes.
We were fighting. I wasn't going to restrain her in any way. I mean, I never physically touched her or hurt her in any way, despite what she claims.
He did admit he called Megan repeatedly and followed her around after their breakup, said he just wanted to talk things out.
She says that after she moved out and she was basically in hiding, according to her, that you started stalking her, that you would come to her work, you would call her work multiple times a day, that she lived in terror of you.
Again, that's her recollection of what happened. I've been to her work a bunch. I went to take her out to lunch to sort of say, I'm sorry.
You're making this sound like it's nothing. She was living in such fear that she didn't know if she was going to live to see another day if you found her.
That's absurd. Absolutely absurd.
Leon insisted he didn't hire anyone to hurt Megan. He was just trying to help her return to her hometown.
I never asked him to snatch anybody or kidnap anybody. What I was told was what Megan wanted to do was go back to Pittsburgh.
Why would you want to be nice at this point, though? Megan doesn't want anything to do with you. It doesn't make any sense.
I was told that's what her wishes were.
And what about those tapes that sounded so damning?
Yeah.
Leon said the tapes didn't prove anything.
Why go down this road? Why hire us who you think is a hitman if you don't want Megan dead?
I never thought he was a hitman. You have to understand something. I never thought these people were violent criminals at all.
That's not how it appears on the tapes.
If you really listen to what's said, I never asked him to hurt anybody. I never asked them to kill anybody.
But remember, he did offer a suggestion on how to kill her.
Why are you telling him how to do this?
I will talk about that when I'm on this witness stand.
So there's nothing you want to share now?
No.
We also asked how Valerie's husband became a target.
Valerie was having a lot of problems with Mac. Did she confide in you?
Yes.
How angry did that make you, hearing these stories about Mac and Valerie?
I didn't really have a reaction to it except to be there for as a support system. I wasn't living in their marriage. I only met him once. That was it. He was never really around.
One of Valerie's friends said that you were obsessed with Mac. and the whole situation that you had a lot of anger towards Mac yourself.
I was upset with how he made her feel. You know, if you have a friend who's being abused, obviously you're not going to be happy about that, but I really had no feeling one way or the other.
If Leon told us he was being kind to Megan, it was a different story with Valerie.
I had nothing to do with what was going on with Mac.
He shifted blame to his late lover, even as he tried to sound sympathetic.
Valerie wasn't a monster. She clearly had reached a breaking point, and I can't say that I condone what she wanted to have done. As a doctor, just as a human being, you know, taking someone's life is not okay with me.
So you're saying you two were not in on this together?
Not in on having anybody killed, absolutely not.
Did you mastermind the plan to have Megan and Mac killed?
There was never a plan to have anybody killed, so no, I did not mastermind a plan to have Megan and or Mac killed.
Do you believe Valerie was the mastermind behind this plan?
I don't think the mastermind is the correct term. She asked for something to happen that she clearly wanted to have happen. I don't think she masterminded. I think that she progressively got there.
Convenient for Leon, Valerie wasn't around to defend herself. Then again, he was the one about to go on trial.
Coming up.
You need to restate your question.
A suspect, not as clever as he thinks, or just clever enough to convince a jury.
I never asked to have anybody hurt, killed, harmed, kidnapped.
What would the verdict be?
County Prosecutor Samantha Connect and her co-counsel Cameron Callaghan knew they had a strong case against Leon Jacob for solicitation of capital murder and additionally for solicitation of kidnapping. They also knew they had a potential problem.
As you headed to trial, what was going to be the cornerstone of your case?
The recordings.
The recordings. There was no way that he was going to be able to get himself out of all of the things that he said.
What would you say was the weakest part of your case?
Well, an aspect of the recordings as well. The defendant is educated, he's intelligent, he was cautious in his approach to talking to the undercover officer.
That was the problem. In all those recorded conversations, Leon never said, "Kill Megan." Yet the prosecutors had to prove that's exactly what he meant.
Leon Jacob does not stop until he gets what he wants.
The trial began on March 20th, 2018. The prosecution called the bail bondsman, Michael Kubosh, who told the jury he had no doubt Leon wanted to hire a hitman to kill Megan.
Felt like I was talking to the devil himself.
The state then called the supposed hitman turned informant, Taz, who testified that he, too, knew exactly what Leon wanted done.
I asked him to bring $2,500 to see how serious he is.
And he brought that money?
Yes.
Prosecutors played the tape, where Leon discussed in detail how he, as a doctor, might get rid of Megan.
He might not have said murder, he might not have said kill, but he knew what he was asking for.
One of the star witnesses was the man who played dead. Mac McDaniel, alive and well, told the jury that he didn't want Leon, a man accused of stalking an assault, anywhere near his daughter.
Did you convey to Valerie your wishes that Natalie not be around the defendant?
Yes.
Motive, said the prosecutors, for Leon to have Mac killed.
Mac, and maybe even the courts may get involved, are going to make Valerie choose between her daughter and the defendant. She's going to choose her daughter.
Mac recounted the emotional moment when he learned about the murder plot.
That if they would have been successful, Natalie would have not had any parents.
Then it was Megan's turn. No gag or zip ties this time. She told the jury she had no doubt Leon wanted her dead.
Were you scared?
Very scared.
How did that affect how you felt about your safety around the defendant?
I was terrified.
Defense attorney George Parnum said the prosecution had it all wrong. Leon didn't want anyone killed.
He wasn't suggesting that this be done.
He argued Leon was just a lovelorn ex-boyfriend who'd gone overboard with big talk.
His braggadocious and then backtracks.
You might think that would make him a risky witness, but Leon wanted to testify.
I never asked to have anybody hurt, killed, harmed, kidnapped. We had multiple discussions or multiple conversations about not wanting to harm or hurt anybody.
The state said that was just semantics. On cross-examination, prosecutor Samantha Connect pointed out that despite Leon's claim he hadn't explicitly asked for Megan or Mac to be killed, he didn't exactly shy away from violent talk.
Snatch her, put her in a room, and tell her if she doesn't leave, I'm gonna kill her parents, right?
If that's what you say, I said.
Did you say it, Mr. Jacob?
Sure.
As for Leon's claim he never suggested killing Megan?
If you injected someone with potassium chloride and stopped their heart, that it would hurt them?
Yes.
It would kill them?
Yes.
You knew that as a doctor?
Yes.
When we would ask him a question, if he didn't feel like we had phrased it right, he would rephrase it for us.
You need to restate your question and put it into context.
I believe that he felt like he was smarter than Cameron and I.
Did you just want to smack him?
Yes.
Leon, they argued, didn't care who lived or died in his wake.
He did nothing to stop this. In his mind, his ex-girlfriend is sitting by herself in a warehouse somewhere in this city, zip-tied, with duct tape around her mouth. He thinks he can just walk away from this.
It took the jury all of an hour and 15 minutes to decide Leon's fate.
Will the jury find the defendant, Leon Philip Jacob, guilty of solicitation of capital murder?
Guilty of all charges. And in Texas, the jury can also decide punishment. In the penalty phase, prosecutors called a new witness, Leon's ex-wife, Annie. She testified in vivid detail that Leon was abusive.
What did the defendant tell you?
That was my punishment for calling the police, was being held in the bed with a knife to my throat.
This defendant cannot be trusted to live among us. A guilty verdict without the appropriate punishment is hollow.
There's something you want out of the punishment phase.
I would never want him to be able to do this to somebody else, because if it wasn't me, if it wasn't Valerie, if it wasn't Annie, it's going to be somebody else. And that needs to stop.
The jury sentenced Leon to life in prison. Afterwards, Megan addressed him directly.
While you sit in jail, I hope you think of me. The girl that you called poor and uneducated. It's because of me you will be in prison for life.
I was really proud of her. I think it took incredible courage on her part to see this through.
Megan knows, in a way, she was lucky.
Every day there are women that are in situations like this that don't have the means to get out. I've had so many people help me, and I just want to make a difference for those who don't have a voice.
That's all for now. I'm Lester Holt. Thanks for joining us.